Having great success so far this year. Does that put any pressure on you guys to succeed?
Who are the Golden Knights? No, only pressure is that the sniping of people saying you got to do as good as them.
It's just good. Vegas is treating us well, and I think the record doesn't show how hard that we work, and it's tough in that way, but it's good for us in the inner circle to understand what we have going on in Vegas, and if we just continue to trust and believe in each other, the sky's the limit for this team, and I'm blessed to be a part of it.
Our expectations maybe at the start of the season were a little unrealistic.
Man, we're not even worried about the playoffs right now. What we do is we take it week by week. We gotta worry about next week. You start looking ahead and you start looking over people, you might not even make it. So
that being said, to me, Urban Meyer is one of the lowest pieces of garbage there is on this earth.
You are tuned in to Straight Bet Sports live on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network.
Oh man, that's right. Wednesday night. Just past 9 p.m. You already know what it is. You are tuning in to Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. A little stuck, man. I was over here trying to get this video up and running on the YouTube page, but I'll get that started here shortly, man. Once again, I am your host, Jose V. We are coming to you live from downtown Las Vegas, Nevada, from the one and only Gorilla Cross Radio. EMB, Jose V, Quan 59 up in the studio. We got a special guest co-host tonight. He's not in the studio. He's joining us through video, but we're going to get him here on the video line shortly. He's already waiting in the green room, if you want to call it that, right? Just, you know, backstage. I'm a little tired, man. I told you I got a migraine. Yeah. This thing is killing me, but we got a lot of things to talk about tonight. But before we do so, before I let everyone know what my pre-recorded speech is, if you want to call it that, from the beginning of the show, how's your evening going, my man? You ready to get started tonight?
It's going good, man. I work tonight, but I'm good. I'm energetic. We got this, man.
Feeling good after your first media event this past Sunday?
Yes,
at the Dollar
yes,
Loan
sir.
Center for
it
the
was
night
a blast. Unfortunately, I did have to leave early, yeah. About a minute or two early, but it was lots of fun, very informative, got to meet some really great people. So it was a lot of fun, and I can't wait to do more.
Yes, sir. We're definitely going to be doing more, but again, man, if you guys are tuned in right now, do us a favor. If you're chimed in, you're on Facebook. I'm looking at the Facebook comments. We're going to get to those as soon as we can here shortly. Primo, Eddie, everybody else chiming in. We got people on Twitter already chiming in as well. We greatly appreciate you guys. I'm going to pull up the YouTube feed. So we're on all platforms. And what I mean by that, Gorilla Cross Radio on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter, the Gorilla Cross app, GorillaCross.com. If you have an iPhone app store, download it right now. If you got a Google Play Android phone, is my guy Ian over here. Download the app. It's completely free. There's a lot more content, not just our content here. And of course, if you want to give us a call tonight, our guest is willing to take phone calls. We want to take phone calls. We want to get you upset. We want you to make us upset
us
so we can go back and forth. It's right there. 702-608-3259 is the phone number to give us a call. But before we get our guest on tonight, right, Ian? people getting smacked around, which we're going to talk about that here shortly. And I'm not just talking about in sports. There's a lot going around with people getting smacked.
Will you?
And it's very, will I tell you? I will definitely tell you about that later on here in the show. But of course, we got sponsors and we got people that pay the bills. So we got to let you know about Joshua LaFon, our sponsor here on Gorilla Cross Radio on Straight Bet Sports.
We are brought to you by Joshua LaFon with Simply Vegas Real Estate, a realtor here to help educate current and future Las Vegas locals on selling and investing in real estate. You're probably asking yourself, educate. Yes, there's a surprising amount of adults that when it comes to real estate, don't know the right questions to ask, don't know where to start, and think they need a lot of cash to buy a house in Nevada, which simply isn't true. So Josh has decided to make it his responsibility to teach his clients what they need to know, and equally important, what they need to ask to help ensure making their homeownership dreams a true reality. So make sure you call or text Joshua LaFon today at 702-813-0533. This has been another paid advertisement from Joshua LaFon with Simply Vegas Real Estate. Make sure you give him a call, 702-813-0533.
That's right, Joshua LaFon with Simply Vegas Real Estate hooking us up here on Straight Bet Sports Live on Gorilla Cross Radio. Going on 2 years with Joshua, man. We greatly appreciate everything he's done for us here on the show. And of course, we got another one, which we're going to talk about him a little bit later. We always do. The homie Eric Navarro, you already know what it is. But we got the Golden Knights up on the screen here. That's one thing I like about the studio before we get into the show tonight. If you guys always see me going back and forth, we got the Vegas Golden Knights right now. We got the Phoenix game up. And we also got ESPN up on the TV. So we're always watching stuff going on as we have the show going on, which is great. So we got live action. Vegas Golden Knights haven't been looking that well overall towards the second half of the season here. They're up 1-0 right now against the Seattle Kraken. Crazy expansion team, you know, not doing too good this year, even though they murdered the Kings, I believe, or the Ducks it was the other night. I had they ran up the score, which was crazy. One of the best games Seattle's had in their expansion franchise this year. But Golden Knights up 1-0. But we got a lot to talk about tonight. We got NCAA Final Four is now set. We got our guest, which is going to talk baseball with us because he just did his baseball spaces last night. And from what I heard from everyone, it was a lot of great knowledge, a lot of stuff for people that are getting ready to bet and just get ready for this baseball season, which is next week. Thursday, I believe, is opening day, something like that. Correct me if I'm wrong. I got to look up the date, but it's next week. It's right around the corner. Exciting stuff, man. Chris Wynn up in the building as well. We got the homie Joe on Facebook as well chiming in. We appreciate you guys. But let's bring in our guest, man. He's a repeat guest. He's been here before, but he was with a trio of other people when we had a full panel of guests that night, right? Quan's over here fighting with a fly, man. Yeah. Got everything good. But
he's just practicing his kung fu.
He's practicing his Will Smith. That's what he is. But anyways, we'll talk about that later. But he is none other than Spin Doc of Spin Doc Sports, the Wise Guys Diamond Club, and Gambling Twitter joining us here on Straight Bet Sports tonight. My guy, what's good? How you doing out there? Hanging out in your villa, as I see back there?
How's it going, Spin?
What's going on? Yeah. This is live outside my house. Something like that. I heard you guys talk, you know, you guys were talking before the show and talking about how I was live video or live remotely and not here or not in studio with you guys. My God, I wish I was there because where I'm at, there's frost on the ground. So not a big fan of that around this time of year, but we get it until around Memorial Day. So it's all good.
Where exactly are you at again?
Minnesota. So every year I ask myself why I continue to live in this state, and every year I'm still here. So, but no, doing great. You mentioned it, man. So hyped for baseball season. So ready to talk about that. Talk about the Final Four. NBA playoffs are coming up. This is just a really awesome time to be a sports fan. NHL playoffs are coming up. It's just a really good time to be a sports fan right now. So
speaking of which, Spin, there's a really good reason you should come to Vegas. We have the draft in like 3 weeks.
He was just here recently.
I was.
But I would love to come back again and again and again and again.
So look, man, the next time you come though, you gotta give me a heads up. We'll get you if it's during the week. We'll get you in the studio. We'll get this done in studio, which is a whole lot better. You know, a whole lot more fun, obviously, because we could chop it up. We can argue face to face without having to be looking back and forth at videos and all that. But Spin, we appreciate you, my guy. Real quick, just plug away where they can find you and the things that you got going on with the gambling side on Twitter and everything else before we get started on the show here.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me on Twitter at SpinDocSports. As you can see there in the bottom left, and I'm also part of a gambling community called the Wise Guys Diamond Club. So You can search for that on Twitter as well. I would follow them both because, you know, part of what we do, part of what I love to do, which I hope will come through as we talk here, is not only give people winning plays, but I also like people, I also like to help people become smarter and better gamblers. I believe that more so than anything, I believe that books take advantage of people's just lack of knowledge about how lines are set, what moves lines, and like what, how to make bets look like they're a sure thing, and how to avoid falling into traps. So that's one of the things that I like doing almost as much as giving people winning plays, is just to help them be able to recognize those things and, like they say in The Matrix, dodge bullets.
And The Matrix, dodge the bullets. Like, we're all trying to dodge bullets and make money pretty much and stay healthy at the end of the day. That's all it is. Now, before we get into the sports aspect of it, obviously, some teams are out here getting smacked, as where some people are getting smacked in real life, as we saw. And I know it's a topic of conversation, and I don't mind jumping off topic for a little bit. This one has to be talked about, obviously. You guys already know what I'm talking about, the whole Oscar situation, the whole Will Smith. I didn't see it live. I actually woke up in the middle of the night. Well, I mean, you know what I mean.
Viewership did go up like 56%. It was something crazy. Like, as soon as it happened, Twitter exploded and like 5 million were like, oh, I got to watch the Oscars.
But I woke up in the middle of the night. I see all the tweets. I see all the stuff going on. I see all the notifications. I'm like, what? I start checking this out and I'm like, okay, this was like, at first I'm sitting there going, is this scripted? Is this staged? Is this real? But obviously, as you're watching more videos, you're seeing more things, you're seeing what's going on. It's real. Now, obviously, the people say that they got history and everyone's got their takes, right? So again, this is my opinion, and I'll give Sosa credit because Sosa said this earlier, and I agree with him every time he says it. This is my opinion. It doesn't mean that I'm right. So that doesn't mean that you have to hate me for giving you my opinion. It's just my opinion. If you don't like it, that's cool. Give me yours and that's it. It's the end of the day. Call it what it is, right? Now, a lot of people that I've spoken to are saying that, oh, you know what? What Will Smith did is right. You know, he's protecting his wife, and they have history, and what Chris Rock did is wrong because, you know, of what she's going through and you know, her stuff. And I'm like, you know what? In my opinion, simple and plain, if you think that what Will Smith did is right, then that means if any of us here has been to a comedy show, and I'm pretty much we sure have, that means that anyone that's ever been to a comedy show should be allowed to get up and slap the comedian if they said something that they did not like. John Leguizamo said it right after the red carpet. They interviewed him on ET, and he said, I think that Will Smith should have apologized instead during his speech, which I agree 100%. He should have apologized for what he did, because on the greatest moment of his life, he did one of the greatest, biggest mistakes of his life, right? Like, you basically are getting the Academy Award. You didn't know that yet. Obviously, we know that. He was still waiting. We get that. But on what could have been the greatest night of your life, you ruined it with what you did. In my opinion, I don't think he was right by it. Chris Rock has done way more stuff than that. And again, he's a comedian. If you can't laugh at yourself at the end of the day, then you know what I mean? What's up? What's wrong with you? It's a joke. If you can't take a joke, you shouldn't go to award ceremonies. You shouldn't go to the Oscars if you already know the way it's going to be and you already know who Chris Rock is. Now, again, that's my opinion. I think Will Smith was wrong. I agree with John Leguizamo. I think that he should have apologized in his acceptance speech. And then not only that, afterwards at the after party, he was partying it up like he didn't even care. And not only that, the fact that Chris Rock said his joke and Will was dying until he turned over and looked at Jada and she rolled her eyes and he's like, I gotta do something. Like, what changed?
So
that's how I feel. Okay. How do you feel about it?
So first off,
what were your thoughts when you saw?
First off, I need a Chris Rock, Will Smith boxing match. I mean,
celebrity death match.
They're doing a bunch of these celebrity exhibition matches. We need one with Chris Rock and Will Smith. Chris Rock has my money. You saw that chin. He has a rock for a chin. No pun intended.
A rock for a chin.
But
Juan says it's staged. That's what he thinks.
So this is my thing. This is interesting. So I didn't find this out until just recently, but he had a full like documentary, Chris Rock, I'm not going to try to pronounce the medical condition, but Appalachia.
Which,
right?
She has?
Yes. Yeah. So he actually interviewed someone that was talking about like how humiliating it is for women that have this condition, be in this society, right? So it was, he might not have been aware that she had it, but like he's definitely aware of the condition. Yeah. So it was interesting there. The other fact was, like you alluded to, he was laughing. So he originally thought the joke was funny. So my question is, what was worse? The fact that Chris Rock made an insensitive joke, not knowing, potentially not knowing that Jada had this condition, or Will Smith knowing that she had this condition and still laughing?
What do you think, Span? What were your thoughts when you saw this whole thing go down?
No, so I didn't see it live either. I was
nobody did.
I was just getting ready to go to bed, and my wife calls to me from the other room. She's just like, "Whoa!" She's like, "Will Smith beat the shit out of Chris Rock at the Oscars." I'm like, "What?" So then you know, watched it, and you know, a lot of thoughts that like what you guys have here. You could clearly see Will laughing hysterically almost before then you see Jada rolling her eyes, and then Will looking over and deciding that he's gotta, you know, just go crazy on him. So the other thing is, from a comedy perspective, I've always believed for comedians is that if you're not insulting somebody, you're not doing your job right. So yes. I'm a huge fan of comedy roasts. And if you think that Chris Rock's joke, while maybe a little insensitive, if you think Chris Rock's joke was anything like near what you'd see at a comedy roast, you should go watch the roast of Charlie Sheen. Go watch the roast of William Shatner, so on and so forth, because that is vicious comedy, absolutely vicious, and nobody is spared. Nobody is spared. So for me, like listening to the joke, I'm like, okay, yeah, she might be really sensitive about the condition, and I don't have it, so I can't speak to that. But it just seemed like he went from like zero to like we're gonna throw down in 2.1 seconds, and I didn't understand that. I personally don't think it was scripted. I think that it was a real moment. And kudos to Chris Rock for taking that, and then also for his professionalism, for just carrying on. Yes. You know, I mean, I think about like, you know, God forbid if like somebody were to come to like me right now while I was on camera and just smack me across the face as hard as they could, and then just carrying on like nothing's wrong. that was a true professional. The other thing that I'll say too is that I know he apologized on Instagram, but the one thing that Chris Rock's brother has said, because Chris Rock hasn't really said anything about this. The one thing his brother has said repeatedly is that Will Smith hasn't called him personally to apologize. And I hate when this happens, whether it's sports figures, social media, anybody. It's like, you know, I did you wrong. You know, it's like if I did something like if I did Jose wrong, and then instead of just texting him and or calling him and saying, hey, man, I'm sorry, I messed up, whatever, whatever, I go post something about it on Twitter. Posting something on Twitter or posting something on Instagram is not a freaking apology. I'm sorry. It's just not. It's saving face publicly. So, you know, if you believe that's true, which I don't know why his brother would lie, you know, I've always been of the belief that if you wrong somebody, hey, if see them face to face, pick up the phone, go shake their hand and say, hey, I messed up. I was wrong. I apologize. So the fact that has not been done yet, which by many accounts it has not, leads me to believe that or leads me to doubt the sincerity of the whole Instagram story that he wrote, and leads me to believe that it might have been a face saving move. So he doesn't like get his Oscar taken away or doesn't lose any future roles or sponsors or whatever the case might be.
Apparently the Academy did ask him to actually leave after the event, and he refused, and that's what the reports are saying.
So. I'm Will Smith. but look, the one thing I will say about this though, real quick, if Chris Rock hasn't said anything, I don't blame him. And think about this, he goes on tour in 4 weeks. Will Smith just gave him all of the material he is going to need to make a bankroll on this tour. Not only that, think about how many people are going to go want to watch Chris Rock now because of that. Because people that really follow and know comedians, they're going to know hey, this dude's out there writing stuff. He's getting ready. He's going to come with fire. Hey, I'll be honest with you. If he comes to Vegas, I haven't seen if his tour's here. I've never seen Chris Rock in person. If he's in Vegas, I'm going to go see him, bro. Like,
I would love to.
Right? I mean, tell me I'm wrong. That's probably what he's going to do. Every comedian would. I'm not a comedian, but I'm pretty sure comedians, they look for this type of stuff, right? They want this type of stuff to happen. For him not to press charges, huge. For him to freaking smile and go, that was the greatest a moment on television history. Like, yeah, continue it, bro. Like, it was perfect, Chris Rock. Hats off to Chris Rock, man. He took it like a champ. But once again, you are tuning to Straight Bet Sports Live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. Jose V, EMB, Quan 5'9". We are joined by Spin Doc Sports, the Wise Guys Diamond Club here on Straight Bet Sports. Weather's been crazy, bro. I know it sounds a little weird, but it's been cold, hot, weird. I know you're talking about it's cold windy over there in Minnesota, but over here, man, the weather's been completely crazy. But a lot of stuff that's been crazy, too, has been the NCAA tournament, right? A lot of people are saying that I'm talking to, Jose, it's fixed. You know, I'm a conspiracy theorist. How are you going to tell me that Villanova, Kansas, North Carolina, and Duke all being there, you know, especially on Krzyzewski's final season, isn't all the setup? I mean, I'm a conspiracy theorist. I look into all that, too. I think that the way brackets were set up, obviously, all as long as they can win their games still, these teams have to win their games, the brackets were still set up for this to happen, 100%. We see that. It's here. Do I hate it? No. I love it. I would rather see this, if I'm being honest with you, with it being Krzyzewski's final season. I wouldn't want him to play someone else that people are going to say, well, that team wasn't that great, and then they lose in the championship or anything like that. Like, I want it to be legitimate. You know what I mean? I don't know how you feel about Coach K. I know you have your thoughts about his spin, but I'm not a huge Coach K fan. I've never have been. I don't talk bad about Duke or him. I've never really liked him. You know, it's just me. I just don't like the guy. So it's just like Bill Self. I think Bill Self, and I think you agree with me on this, is one of the most overrated college basketball coaches ever. There you go. See what I'm saying? But going to the Final Four. Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Spin.
Don't get me started on Bill Self. I would take up all your airtime.
But no, man, going back to the Final Four, it's a great setup. The only problem now here with the whole Kansas-Villanova, you were mentioning it earlier. We're talking about it, and we talked about it on Sunday too, the injury for Villanova, how huge that's going to be for them. Some people now have Kansas running away with it, saying that they're going to be the number one, that they're going to win the whole thing. Some people think that Duke's going to outlast North Carolina. Hubert Davis isn't ready. He's not that seasoned of a coach. You know, Krzyzewski's going to outcoach him. They're going to do it for him. I don't look into all that, because if that was the case, why couldn't Duke win their final game at home against North Carolina for Coach K? So there's so many different scenarios that go around this. I like this matchups. I like the situations. I think the numbers, when we're talking about betting spin, are right where they should be. Both games are at -4 right now. With the injury to Villanova, I can see that on the Kansas side. With the way Duke has played to get here against North Carolina, I can see the number being 4. I'm okay with it. You know what I mean? I have no actual tails or leans towards these games yet. It's still too early. Obviously, the games are on Saturday. But when you saw it and the games were set, Spin, what were your first thoughts when you saw these matchups and these lines come out?
My initial thought here is that I wouldn't be so quick to write off Villanova, even with their injury. However, as much as it just pains me to admit it, but I got to give credit where credit is due. When you look top to bottom, talent, experience, anything that usually adds up to success in the NCAA tournament, Kansas just has it. They have inside outside game. They have length. They have shooting. And then on top of it, Remy Martin just comes out of nowhere and is dropping 20 balls left and right. So, you know, for a team that doesn't need any more help, then they get their seventh or eighth guy on the roster, you know, third or fourth guy off the bench, that's coming in and averaging 20 and shooting over 50% for the tournament. You know, it's just a case where the rich just get richer in this situation. So I wouldn't be quick to write off Villanova. I certainly trust Jay Wright coaching in big games way more than I do Bill Self. But I think in the end that the waters might just be a little bit too strong here for Nova. So I would agree with you that I think that the spread is set pretty perfectly. Unless there's some movement, I'm probably not going to be betting this game pregame. I'm probably going to look to hit it live. Yeah. I've watched Kansas at least 10 times this year, Nova almost as many. So there's just certain trends where if I see things going a certain way, I'll probably take live shots on either one of them, specifically more for the first half. So when I do live betting, I typically will take a shot at either the under 16 or the under 12 media timeout, because that's usually when teams, if they're going to make adjustments or going to make any kind of moves to get back in the game for a team that's down, that's when it'll happen. So, and then those things, you usually see the benefit of those, or those come to fruition right around the under 10 minute mark in the first half. So, the other game, yeah, I think that if Coach K has gotten this far, I would be very surprised if Duke didn't win this game. This is a very, very clear revenge game spot. Obviously they ruined Coach K's last game at Duke. And, you know, when you watch Duke play right now, they are one of the lowest teams in terms of experience. So they're ranked like 340 something out of 358 teams in overall experience. They have a lot of young guys. And normally you see at this point in the tournament, teams like that struggle in the NCAA tournament. But this is where, for even though I'm not a huge fan, I don't dislike the guy either, I have to give Coach K credit, because some of the coaching moves that he's made, he won that game against Texas Tech. They were down by four at halftime. He switched to that 2-3 zone, and they made just little subtle adjustments where they were daring Texas Tech to shoot jump shots from the wing, which they're not good at, and played the analytics game perfectly there. So, you know, I firmly believe that if there was a lesser coach, if there wasn't like a Coach K or a Jay Wright or so on and so forth coaching Duke in that game against Texas Tech, I believe that they would have lost. And I believe that they would have lost by 5 to 6 points. So that is the impact of what having a Coach K does. And I believe that the same thing will happen. I think that it's been a really good run for Hubert Davis, but I think early in the year, he made some really questionable decisions in big time moments of games. And so when you put those two up against each other, it's a pretty easy decision for me. Same thing here. Spread is set pretty perfectly. I think that I have this one right now with Duke by like 4.2 points, and it's at 4. So it's just set so perfectly. So this is another one where I'm probably going to look to bet live.
There you go, Spin Dog. We're giving you some of the ins and outs, some of the analytics. That's why I like having him on the show. And this is not going to be the second, nor the third, nor the last time that we're going to have him on, obviously, because this guy's a betting pro, as where I'm still trying to learn as much as I can. I like to bet. There's a difference. We've talked about that. I'm not a pro handicapper. But you can hear the differences from people that know sports and like to talk sports from someone that actually does them on the inside and out. Like, I know he's got some stuff for us because we were talking before the show. He was texting me, and he's got some NBA stuff that some of you people are probably going to be a little lost by. But trust me, he's going to explain some of this stuff, and a lot of it makes sense. Trust me, if you're trying to get into this, it makes total sense, man. But I think the Final Four is going to be great. If I had to give you who I think we're going to get in there, I'm sticking with Villanova. Villanova was my pick from the beginning. They were my pick on the bracket. I still think that without the injury, I still think Jay Wright is the better coach. I still think that he can find a way to win this game. Call me crazy just going based off of that. So I'm going to ride with my pick to win it all. I'm still going Villanova to get there. On the other side, I agree. I think that Hubert Davis has done a good job up to here. I was on Spaces the day before that they played. I'm sorry, the morning before they played St. Peter's, and I said how he was going to be the coach that was going to look at the previous three games and go, those three coaches didn't do what I'm about to do. I'm going to make sure that I don't get out coach and make those mistakes and outlook this St. Peter's team, right? And what happened? They beat him. They beat him handily. They controlled the game. He did what they had to do. I don't think that that's going to be the case here with Duke. I think Duke overall talent-wise just has better players. And of course, with the whole Coach K situation and them not winning that game, again, I'm a conspiracy theorist. I look at other things aside from the ins and outs and the analytics and the numbers. But I can see this being a revenge spot. You know what I mean? The Duke players wanting to get Coach K that win to get to the championship, to try to prove that they could win it all for him. So call me crazy. I got Duke Villanova in the final. What do you got?
So I'm going to go the opposite way. I think North Carolina is a very physical team.
Okay.
And I think they're going to out-muscle Duke. I think that the coach has done an extraordinary job with adjustments. And I don't know. I'm not a big Coach K fan either. And I think that he's going to be chasing that like revenge win too much. And I think
it's going to cause him to get outcoached?
I think so.
Okay.
I think he's an up and coming. I think a lot of people think that, oh, just because he's, you know, he's young and he's not as experienced as these other coaches, that he's going, North Carolina's coach is going to have trouble. But so far, nobody's really, at least in the tournament, really outcoached him.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Like, they have talent. They do have, you know, but above all, like, he's gotten them really good on their offensive and defensive rebounding. So they've been able to outmuscle a lot of the teams that they've gone against. And I personally think that it's going to be the same way with Duke.
So you got Kansas, North Carolina in the final? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Because I think if they make it past them, I think that there's a good chance that they end up making it past Villanova as well. So.
Okay. Kansas, North Carolina. I got
or
Villanova, Kansas, Duke. Yeah. What you got, Spin? Who you think makes it to the final?
Yeah, I got to go Kansas Duke here.
Okay. There we go.
Keep in mind, that's not my preference.
I got you.
I would actually love to see a UNC Nova final. I really would.
Okay.
I think it's a real possibility, like you said, that we're counting Villanova out, but they are an extremely good team. So
definitely.
It is very possible that they're able to overcome the deficiency of not having Justin Moore, but we'll see.
We'll see how it plays out.
I agree with you, though. I would love to see Villanova and UNC. So.
It's going
to
be a great Saturday of basketball, man. Make sure you guys tune in. And if you're on Spaces, if you're on Twitter, man, chop it up. Let everybody know what you're betting, what you're doing, what you're picking. I got to give a few shout-outs to some people on social media. I'm trying to get a lot better at this throughout the show because we're getting a lot more people commenting and chiming in, man, which is pretty sweet, man. I love that. I appreciate everybody showing love to the show, not only tonight, but throughout the week. You see the following. It's getting a lot bigger on Twitter. We're a lot bigger on Twitter than we are on any other social media platform, but we use all of them, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I use Snapchat. I use TikTok. I do it all, but I'm a lot bigger on Twitter more than anything, and I appreciate the Twitter community for everything that you guys have done, helping support the show. So I'm just going to go ahead and give out some names here on YouTube. We got C-Pen for the win, chiming in here on YouTube. Also, Spliff Kingsbury, my guy. He's also on Twitter. He's one of the guys that be on there as well, chiming in there on YouTube. Penn says, pick wise, been all over Kansas to win the entire thing. I hate it, he says. Spliff says, Jose, my G. Goose Thomas from Let the Ball Bounce chimes in on Facebook. He says, heels. Armando Bocat is a man, folks. Heels. Chris Williams, see win. The Justin Moore loss is just way too much of a hill to climb for Nova guys, which sucks for the Wildcats faithful. Joseph, the homie Joseph, also chimes in on Facebook. He says, Will, 6'2", 200, easy. Chris Rock, 5'10", 160-ish. Give me Chris. I think we got an underdog money here. I love it. I love it, man. I don't know.
I feel like Chris got some fight in him, man.
Oh, my God, man.
It'd be a good match.
And then again, guys, if you guys see us when we're on our single windows, we do have our social media tags on our screen here. So go ahead and follow all of us that are on here. And if you haven't done so, follow Gorilla Cross on all social media platforms, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. Quan's got a show, Unnamed Sports Show. If you guys haven't checked that show out, the name for itself is catchy already. It caught my eye. It caught my ear before I even started coming out here and I started talking to Quan. They do so much more on that show, man. It's amazing. Quan brings in a whole bunch of different co-hosts and guests. And they don't just talk sports. They talk culture. They talk everything. So it's pretty cool. And, of course, Miss Ball and D will let the ball bounce. Goose Thomas, Dre Bailey with that's Let the Ball Bounce. I'm sorry. No Plays Off is Miss Ball and D. So just a lot of other content on there, man. So go ahead and download that app and follow Gorilla Cross on all social media platforms. Got to give a big shout out to Mexico. Obviously, you see me wearing the gear. They qualify for the World Cup already. They get a 2-0 win tonight with goals from Uriel Antuna and Raul Jimenez on a penalty kick on the 43rd minute. They beat El Salvador. And you know what? This is a perfect segue for our second sponsor because he's our Salvadorian friend. And I like to give him crap all the time because I tell him, Salvador has a soccer team? I didn't know that. But Mexico beat Salvador tonight. But this is a perfect lead for our second sponsor here on the show on Straight Bet Sports. He is none other than my personal barber, our personal barber here on the show. He is Eric Navarro of Line 'Em Up by Eric. You can catch him out right there on the screen. Line 'Em Up by Eric on IG. If not, 702-884-8138. And of course, download the Booksy app today. You can book any appointment you want. He does it all, guys. He did my beard for the first time the other day. It's nothing against him. I was just very iffy with my beard in general. I used to always like doing it on my own. He hooked me up, so I love it. Always takes care of my son, man. He's the only one that can get him straight down with his lineup. No other barber's been able to. So trust me, man. Trust me and trust my word on this. If you're looking for a barber, you're looking for someone reliable, someone that knows how to do their job, hit up Eric Navarro at Line 'Em Up by Eric, 702-884-8138, IG, Line 'Em Up by Eric, as you see there on the screen. We greatly appreciate you, my guy, as always, being a part of the show here on Straight Bet Sports. But guys, let's move on into a couple more things. We obviously got some baseball that we want to talk about. We got some NBA that we want to talk about. Let's jump into the NBA part of it first. Okay. Because I know Ian's got a lot of thoughts when it comes to the NBA. As were myself, I get more in tune and stuck into the NBA come playoff time. I follow it throughout the regular season, don't get me wrong, but I'm not stuck into it as much as I should be if I'm being 100% honest, right? I follow my team, which is more than anything. I don't follow the rest of the league as much as I should. I follow the names. I follow the headlines. I read. I check my highlights and all that, obviously. But Spin, we're coming down to the end here. This is one of the topics that Ian brought up to me and he wanted to talk about tonight because so we need to know what teams do we believe are pretenders, right? Are contenders, are legit, are not. Top four teams in the East, top four teams in the West. The East keeps shuffling. Boston could have been closer to taking over to Miami today, and Miami pulls through and does what they continue to do, even though they've been floundering in the second half of the season. And Jimmy Butler's also been having a struggle in the second half of the season here, right?
He's been struggling a lot.
He's been struggling a lot.
Not just the second half. He had some games in the first half that were iffy. Like, you're like, what are you doing, man?
It was just, it's horrible, man. Yeah. But obviously, guys,
this year's been rough.
We're coming down to the wire. You brought this up to me. Yeah. What are you looking at when it comes to the East and the West? Give me your four on each side.
So my four is going to be Celtics actually number one. I know a lot.
So this is how you think the top four will end on each side.
Yeah. Okay. So Celtics have been playing pretty much perfect basketball. I mean, they mesh well. Their chemistry is great. Their coach is doing fantastic. And they pass the ball and they're efficient. And so I really think the Celtics are going to be number one. Call me a homer. I do like my Sixers. I know they've had a couple of tough losses here, but they're going to clean a lot of that stuff up. A lot of it's in the second rotation. Embiid's making it known that he wants to play more minutes if he can impact the game. So I think they're going to work that out. Outside of those, I'd say maybe the Nets and the Bucks, probably the Bucks higher than the Nets. But outside those three, those top three, I mean, the East, I'm not really scared of the Cavs. I'm not really scared of the Heat, not really scared of the Bulls. I really think that they're false.
The Bulls can't beat teams with winning records.
Exactly. They get, I mean,
you know what
they,
I mean?
I believe they're 0-3, 0-4 against the against the Sixers.
And what do you play in the playoffs? Teams with winning records.
Exactly. So I don't think the Bills are real. And then Miami, I'm not sure what's going on with them like as a whole, but I don't think they're going to be able to physically play past like the Bucks or the Sixers. Like they're
in a seven-game series.
In a seven-game series, they're just going to get out-muscled. Their lineup, to me, is just too small. So I don't like them. On the West side, I'm going to try to go a little bit quicker, go through it. Suns, obviously, they're comebacks kings. I mean, we're seeing it. Warriors were up. Sixers were up. I think Bucks were up. Like, the Suns just come back. They play all four quarters. Right now, they're playing probably the best basketball in the league. And so I love them. I think Grizzlies. I think what Ja Morant is doing is amazing. The guy's unreal. For his second year in the league, the guy's playing at MVP level. The things that he does is I really haven't quite seen some of the things that he does since, you know, like in terms of like groundbreaking since like Iverson and stuff like that. Like, I think Ja Morant's going to actually end up changing the game because he's just that good.
So before we keep going, we got some more comments here. Okay. on Facebook. Goose chimes in. He says, the Heat are the best defensive team going into the playoffs. You may want to worry about them. And then Chris makes a good point that we were talking about earlier. The Celtics have been great, but Williams being out probably a couple months really hurts them. Plus, it's not like he'll come back and be in great shape out of the gate. So that's another thing, too. Spin, what do you got, my guy?
All right. So for those that know me, you know how metric based I am. And for those that don't, you're probably about to learn why. So when I look at basketball, specifically the NBA, is so there are for those that don't know what it is, I'm a huge believer in a concept called the four factors of winning basketball. For those that don't know what the four factors are, it was actually invented came up with by a guy named Dean Oliver. He's a statistician, PhD, all kinds of degrees, and he was an assistant with the Wizards, and he was in the front office for the Kings, the Sonics, the Nuggets. So basketball and stats all combined. And so the way the four factors work quickly is in the game of basketball, unless it's in the end of a quarter or half or the game, there's only four ways that a possession can end. It's a made shot, a missed shot and a rebound, a turnover, or a free throw. And so those are the only ways that a possession can end. So when you take into account teams that can do those things well and prevent their opponents from doing so, those are teams that can have what are called quality possessions. Now, when you there's a whole bunch of math behind this, and we don't have enough time to get into it, but anybody can DM me if you want to know more. But here's some
it looks that, like this. If you guys, you can't really see the screen, but it's a whole sheet here. Trust me.
Yeah. So the most important one of these is shooting, made shots. So obviously, the only way to score in the game of basketball is by putting the orange ball in the hole, right? That's the only way to score points. So the metric that's used in primarily by teams is what's called EFG, or effective field goal percentage. So it's not just regular field goal percentage. What it gives you is it gives you extra credit for shots that are more difficult to make, AKA three pointers. So the raw math is you take your total field goals made plus half of your three pointers made, and you divide it by your total field goal percentage. Now, when you look back at NBA finals going all the way back the last 5 years, no team, zero, not a single one, outside the top five in EFG has made the NBA finals in the last 5 years. It actually goes back even further than that. I stopped looking to try to find a team that was outside the top five in this EFG metric. So if you think about it along those lines, the only teams left that leaves are Utah, Phoenix, Denver, Golden State, and Milwaukee. So from the East, Milwaukee is the only one. The other side of the coin is being able to defend and keep teams from scoring. So there are all but two NBA Finals teams since 2017 have been in the top 10 for EFG defense. The only two that weren't were Cleveland in 2017 and 2018, back when LeBron was supermanning it.
Superman.
So the teams that applies to would be Phoenix again, Golden State again, Memphis, Dallas, kind of, Utah, Boston, the Sixers, and surprisingly on the defensive side, Cleveland. Cleveland ranks very highly in a lot of defensive metrics. I'm not ready to anoint them as a serious playoff contender. I think they're too young. I don't think they have enough experience. I think that they need another year or two. I mean, outside of like guys like Love, but when you start adding it up and looking, there are a lot of commonalities with teams that have success in these quote four factors. So the turnover one, it's kind of across the board where teams finish in terms of turnovers. Same thing with offensive rebounds. Free throws is a big one, and not free throw percentage. There's a metric called free throw rate, which is basically how many free throws you attempt compared to how many field goals you attempt. So teams that get to the line, especially for pro athletes, can most NBA teams, except for a few guys, can make their free throws. So if you get to the line, or if you don't put your opponent on the line, those are extra points and possessions that can win or lose you a basketball game. So when you look at free throw rate for this year, the teams that are the tops in that and that are in the playoff mix right now, Utah and Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and Cleveland again. So when I keep going through this exercise, I keep the teams that I come up with is ones that I would consider to be serious contenders metrically. In the East, it would be the ones that Ian said. So it would be Milwaukee, Boston, Miami, and Philadelphia when you add everything together. In the West, it would be Utah, Phoenix, Golden State, and maybe Memphis. That's it. So when I look at the Eastern Conference, I think I probably have to give the edge to Milwaukee here as the defending champs. They also check out the best metrically, and those sorts of things really, really show up in the playoffs. But then when you look at the East, this is where I would say, if you're looking at straight numbers, I wouldn't bet on Cleveland. I wouldn't take a future on Cleveland to win the East or to win the NBA championship. I would not be opposed to taking a series bet on them to win one playoff series, and would especially look to see if they can be a dog in certain situations so that you can get plus money on them in just straight money line for games, because they check every box of a team that would do well in a playoff type situation. So, but again, four factors. Because they're the only ways a possession in the game can end: made shot, a turnover, an offensive or defensive rebound, a rebound, or a free throw. And so when you start looking at it that through that lens, you can really simplify. And instead of looking, I mean, because there's so many stats and metrics and different things that you might see on like SportsCenter and whatnot, if you break it down into those four, it makes it a lot easier. And so I am a huge believer in that. I use it in all my capping, whether it be NBA or college. And I think that historically, if you look back, it really, really comes to light in the NBA playoffs, specifically teams that can make shots. So like I said, last 5 years in that EFG metric, no team, so we're 10 for 10, no team outside of the top five in EFG percentage has made the NBA finals ever. And like I said, it goes back even further than that. So if you want to just break it down to one metric, you can look at teams that can just straight up make shots. And that's also why, you know, people like, you know, it, obviously people talk about Steph Curry and Golden State and, you know, teams that shoot threes and whatever. Well, I mean, it's pretty obvious why, because you get an extra point. So all those extra points at the end of the game can be the difference between winning and losing, especially in the playoffs. So that's why EFG is such an important metric.
If you guys are lost, just hit up Spin. Trust me. Makes sense if you understand what he's saying.
Yeah.
I understand what he's saying because I've heard him talk about EFG and all this stuff on other spaces that I've been on when it comes to gambling, and all of it makes sense. If you're just someone that's going to the window and is going, I like red over blue, then you should not be gambling. He's basically giving you the ins and outs on what makes sense, how teams are playing, what they're doing, what to look for, instead of just trends and other things like that. So that's pretty awesome,
Speaking
man.
Speaking of efficient teams, Suns just won. So.
And the Golden Knights, big shout out to the Golden Knights. They pull it off and get that the alternate puck line at -2.5, and they win by 3 tonight on the road. They gotta pull it together, man. They gotta get a whole lot better
here. They gotta figure it out.
But yeah, man, we got some more people chiming in. Chris Wynn says, did Straight Bet Sports just turn into Spin Docs? I don't want to say that word because I don't want to get in trouble, because I don't know if that's a word I can say here or not. Ed Class, and he goes, just saying. And then Joseph goes, yes, sir. Spin Doc has been trying to tell people, which Joe also follows you on Spaces and on Twitter. They're my guy. So he's one of our gambling Twitter family members there. We also got C-Pen for the Win on YouTube goes, Utah is just a regular season team, forever fraudulent. He's like, I'm good. You know what? I'll throw this out there real quick and then we can move on. Top Shot, if you guys knew who Top Shot is, one of the guys from our Twitter spaces and everything, he was talking about it last night. He says, Donovan Mitchell's gone. He's going to New York. He's going to be a Knick. He's like, I feel sorry for Snyder. He's a great coach, but he's going to be gone too. And you know what? Who knows? I wouldn't be surprised if they end up breaking up that team apart at the end of the season. They are forever fraudulent from what it looks like right now.
They're for sure breaking up, but he's not going to the Knicks.
No, I know that. That's just a crazy like, little thing there.
I mean, you did say New York, so I guess that leaves room for Nets too. But
no, that's Brooklyn. We're not going to talk about that.
Every big free agent ever is always in. Somebody's going to write a story. Somebody's going to send a tweet about could they go to New York? Could they go to the Lakers? That's what happens with major markets. Every single free agent will be tied to them. You saw it in baseball where, you know, the Yankees were assured to sign Trevor Story, Carlos Correa, Max Scherzer, so on and so forth, and how'd that work out? So
not too good.
Reality is often very different. But whenever you have a big name free agent in any sport, I guarantee you that they will be tied to New York and to LA. It's guaranteed in some fashion.
So I'm glad you brought up baseball, Spin. Because that's actually our final topic here. We got about 10 minutes left on the show. Guys, Spin, we appreciate you coming on, man. You're giving us knowledge and different things we can add to the show. It's always good when we have different shows, not always the same thing every single week, man. So I greatly appreciate you jumping on with us. Baseball season is right around the corner next week, opening day. We also have opening day coming up here as well in a few days at LV Ballpark for our Aviators, our AAA team. I'm excited about that season here, too. A lot of, you know, minor league Oakland A's. Why am I stuck? I'm telling you, this migraine is killing me tonight, man.
They just made a $3 billion bid for the land next to Harmon.
Just stop. Oakland A's are not coming here, okay? Hey, they are not coming here. I've been saying it. It's a smokescreen. They're not coming here. We'll get baseball eventually.
I think they are.
We will get baseball eventually.
They just purchased the land.
It's not good.
They just purchased the land.
I hope they do because that team is going to be abysmally bad this year.
Go for it. Jump right into it. Let's jump in. No. Oakland A's. What are your thoughts on the Oakland A's this year since they're attached to Vegas?
Yeah. So first of all, that team is in the teardown part of their perpetual build up with young guys, sign a few veteran free agents, make a little mini run, and then tear it down. This is the teardown phase. And so I feel bad for Oakland fans because it's usually a 5 to 7 year cycle because they just don't spend. The city doesn't spend. They have that old crappy stadium.
It's horrible.
I wish they would move to Vegas because I think that the city would actually infuse money into the team. So they traded Matt Olson. They traded Matt Chapman. And right now, they're two of their top pitchers, Frankie Montas and Sean Manea, they are on the team still. They will be gone by midseason. I guarantee you that. The only reason why they're not traded yet, more teams want Montas because he has 2 years of team control left and is cheaper. Manea has 1 year of team control and is more expensive. The A's want to trade the most expensive players first. So they're getting a ton of offers from Montas. They're going to wait it out and hope he has a few good starts and then try to drive the price up. And they would prefer to trade the most expensive players first. But those two guys will be gone by midseason. And then, I mean, the cupboard's just bare. So, you know, I do it now before, if you still can, before they trade those guys and the numbers adjust. But a good future right now, if you're into that sort of thing, would be whatever the A's win total is at to go under. Because I would be surprised if that team wins 65 games this year. I would really be surprised.
So mixing in the
Joseph Michaels, what do you say? Jumps in and says they're going to lose 100 plus games. They're going to be in hell.
They're going to lose 100 plus games. They're going to be in hell. And then Goose chimes in, obviously, hashtag ATL Braves is a big Braves fan. Wow. Yeah, he took the number one bag. Atlanta native, definitely. He sure got paid. But look, when it comes to the National League, I mean, if we're being honest, just going based off what's on paper, right? We're not talking about just, oh, that's the favorite of this and that. But if we're going based off of paper and moves that they made, the Dodgers have to be the front runner in the National League this year, right? There's no ifs, ands about it. I'm not a Dodger fan, even though I wear a Dodger hat from time to time. People got to get it right. I'm from L.A. I support them, but I'm not a Dodger fan. I'm a Yankee fan. Now, with that being said, oh, I know, Quan, thank you. Yeah. But Dodgers have to be the front runner, in my opinion, especially with the signing of Freddie Freeman. We talked about it with Okoye last week, and I said that right this time, Quan Okoye. he talked about it. Having him on the lineup with Mookie Betts, with Turner, just the guys that they have now, it's going to be hard to pitch against that lineup, right? Or get ready and adjust to that lineup. That's one. Now, we can clearly see the Dodgers being the favorite paper-wise in the National League. Who are we looking at in the American League? Are we looking at the Red Sox?
I'm going to cut you off real quick. I know, again, I understand. I'm
Are you all Philly. Don't talk about the Philly.
Oh, here if you're going to go on with the Dodgers, they're going to be hard to pitch against.
Hurry up. We're running out of time.
You got Castellanos, you got Schwarber, you got Segura, you have Harper, like you have Hoskins. Like the Phillies, that's murder row, bro. Like you're not going to be able to get It's the same thing. I'm just saying. Again, the Phillies, they're the part that's going to get them is the pitching. Obviously, their pitching is abysmal. But you're going to have to score a lot of points to keep up with that that hitting squad. So just on the same point that you were making with, you know, there. And then also, I don't think you can count out the Braves either. I hate that they're in, you know, the same division, but
they're still the Braves.
They're still the Braves, and that's a good squad. So I wouldn't say the Dodgers are just the runaway in the National League.
And I want to give a big shout out to Evan Guerrero, Drumline AV, one of our photographers here, of a good friend of ours as well. I agree with him with what he said, and he posted the video of Albert Pujols coming out in a Cardinals jersey. Even though it's his final year, we know he may not do much.
It's good to see
Albert Pujols in a Cardinals jersey again. For baseball in general, whether you like the guy or not, it was nice to see him come out with that number 5 and people give him a standing. You know, after him being gone for so long from St. Louis, it was pretty amazing. But who do you? If I'm just going to throw it out here now, since we're already running out of time, we don't have much more time to talk about the baseball. I think the Dodgers are the front runner when it comes to the National League. Call me crazy. I think the Red Sox will be the American League front runner this year. I think it's a long way to go. We'll talk more baseball as we get there. But just throwing it out there hypothetically, I can see Boston and LA in the World Series this year if the Dodgers are legitimately that team that we see on paper. Because anybody could be the team on paper and then not produce. We've seen it, and I've seen it so many years as a Yankee fan throughout the years when they buy so much and couldn't win anything. So just because you buy the talent and you have it on paper doesn't necessarily mean it's going to translate on the field. Real quick, Spin, what do you think? Who do you have coming out National and American League?
Yeah, so the American League, my concern with Boston, now they could make a trade to alleviate this. My concern with Boston here is the same concern that they had last year, and it was the same concern that cost them in the ALCS. It was a lack of starting pitching, because right now they're starting pitching. They have Chris Sale, who's hurt. Eovaldi's a solid guy. Nick Pavetta's up and down. Tanner Houck, who can be wild, and Michael Wacha, who got cast off from Tampa Bay. Yeah. That's not really a lineup that I think about when I think about a World Series. Now, they could go after a Montas, they could go after a Manea, and that would make their lineup real dangerous. The team that I love, and I love all the moves that they did this year, I think they filled almost every hole they have, is the Blue Jays. They have 5 bona fide major league starters in Gausman, Jose Berrios, Ryu, Manoa, and Yusei Kikuchi. So I said this on Spaces last night. I would look for a Kikuchi to have a really, really nice year going in. They have the same pitching coach. They've had the same pitching coach in Toronto for the last 12 years.
Wow.
They've been top ERA or top half ERA, top in strikeouts for the last several years. So Pete Walker is the guy's name for the Blue Jays. Great, great, great pitching coach. And when you look up and down their lineup, when you got when you got Vlad, when you got Bichette, when you got now, they got Matt Chapman from the A's. They still got Teoscar. They still got Springer. I mean, the lineup is dangerous, and now the pitching is dangerous. So for me, if I'm taking a futures bet right now for the American League, I'm taking Toronto pretty hands down. Okay. I think that I don't think you can count Boston completely out. And, as much as I would love to put my Twins anywhere near that territory, that's not happening. I don't think anybody from the AL Central is going to make any serious run this year. But watch out for the Blue Jays, because that team, their biggest concern from last year was their pitching. They filled a huge hole with Berrios, and now they filled 2 more with Gausman and they completely replaced Robbie Ray, who left for Seattle. And then they, like, the rich get richer, because then they went out and they got Kikuchi as their fifth starter. So when you think about it, Yusei Kikuchi was a number one or number two starter last year and an all-star, and he's their fifth starter. Their fifth starter. That's insane. Wow. For a team that's not in a huge market either. So give me Toronto, and yeah, for the NL, Braves and Dodgers until somebody takes it away from them.
Guys, we're right at the number already. That was amazing. We had a fun time. Time flies when you're having fun. Spin, we appreciate you, my guy. Let everyone know once again where they can find you on all things social media before we let you go tonight.
Yeah, no, first of all, shout out to you, to both you guys. Thanks so much for having me. Greatly appreciate it. I'll come back anytime. On Twitter, at SpinDocSports. Also, please follow me. Follow the Wise Guys Diamond Club. Would love to have you on one of my spaces. Next one's tomorrow night. You can see that on my Twitter feed. I'll be doing a full MLB season preview with my specialty strikeout props, and I'll be doing another one next Tuesday in anticipation for the season. So would love to have you. So thank you guys for having me. Love you guys.
No problem, man. Again, if you guys aren't on Twitter, do it now. Follow my man. Spaces is growing, and it's huge. You will not be disappointed. Spin Doc Sports, Wise Guys Diamond Club. We appreciate you, my guy. I will be on that space tomorrow night because I think I get off of work right before you get it started. So I'll be talking to you later, my guy. Appreciate you. Have a great night, and we'll talk to you soon. All right, Ian. You ready?
I'm ready. You ready?
Final thoughts so we can close it out?
Final thoughts is that I'm not going to do the normal spiel real quick, but kudos to the Bucks. Bowles is the new head coach, in case people didn't see. Arians is now a front office.
I know, we didn't talk to Spin about
but
that.
But kudos for them finally giving him an extra, another chance. They gave him a five-year contract. And go follow ENB_sports, Jose_Vellante. And we'll see you next week.
So my final thought, I think I'm going to stick to this until I get some type of response, right? Or some type of answer here. So Brett, this one's for you, my guy. Just want to let you know. I hope you're doing good. I texted you today. Didn't get a response, but it's all good. Tell me if this one sounds familiar. What does Coach know today that Brett doesn't know, that he should know, that he hasn't told him yet? Remember that one. We'll talk about it soon. Till next week, I am Jose V for ENB, Quan59, Spin Doc Sports. We greatly appreciate you guys. This has been another episode of Straight Bet Sports here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Later.